this morning. Lord Jesus, we love you, we praise you, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for that love that you put into our lives and through our lives, Lord Jesus. Lord, we welcome you here this morning, Lord, as we listen to your word. Lord, I ask that you open our hearts and our minds. Lord, that we might see a little bit more of who you are and who we are in you, Lord Jesus. And Lord, as you move amongst us, Lord, I ask that you work a wonder. Lord, I ask it in your holy name. Amen. Okay, I'm continuing the series on love. Last week, we did the first 3 points. And the first one, we discovered that love is in its essence for us a decision, a choice. We then asked the question, is love emotion, decision, or spirit? And we learnt that if we wanted love to last, then it had to be spirit. And that spiritual love is worked out through our choices. If we base it on emotions, if we base it on our mind, if we base it on the body, our love won't last. And then we learnt the reason for that. Essentially, love is spirit. Right at the beginning, when God breathed into Adam and Eve, he breathed his love into us. We became a conduit of his love. More than that, love became the purpose for our creation. So that was last week. This week, the point it's not point number 4, if anyone is keeping notes. And the question is, does love make us slaves? Does love make us slaves? If you remember at the beginning of last week, I read a definition by mind scientists or brain scientists. And part of that definition was, love is an addiction and needs to be thought of as an addiction so that we can keep it under control. And that's kind of where this is coming from. Does love make us slaves? In other words, sometimes love can be bad for us. Love can be unhealthy. And in a sense, love requires us to be slaves, doesn't it? Because love, when we fall in love with someone, that person becomes a purpose for us. Their hopes, their desires, their needs become our purpose. Except that's not quite the whole story, is it? Because when you've got two people in a relationship and they both have that attitude, then each person in that relationship becomes a recipient of the sacrifice and the love of the other person. And that paints a different picture, doesn't it? Yes, it does make us slaves, but it also makes us recipients of the other person's love and sacrifice. But even that's not the complete story. Because as our love grows, as our unity with the other person grows, then we find suddenly those hopes, those dreams, those desires become one. So it's no longer about me sacrificing to them, because their hope is my hope. Their dream is my dream. Their desire is my desire. Give me a couple of seconds, I'm going to have to find my place. In other words, one could say that the two start to become one. The two join together to become one flesh. I've read that somewhere before, I can't remember where. What was that? Oh, right, okay. The end result of that is what we see in our own relationship is a reflection of what we see in the Holy Trinity, isn't it? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If you've seen one, you've seen them both. If you know one, both. Trinity, both. If you've seen one, you've seen them all. If you've known one, you've known them all. Oh, it's going to be one of those mornings this morning, I can see it. And this is how we were designed to live. This is what we were designed for. I mentioned the fact that animals always seem so at peace, doing no more than what comes naturally to them. And the reason for that is very simple. Because animals, just by being who and what they are, fulfill the purpose that God gave them. You remember in the Beatitudes, God promises that you will be satisfied. That's what you see in the animals resting. Full bellies that we've filled for them. That's what you see in the animals, and that's where we should live. Oh, is it too low? Sorry, is that better? I'll do a rock and roll talk. Yeah, that's what we see in animals, purely because they are fulfilling the purpose that God gave them, so they are satisfied. And that's where we should be. That's how we should lead our lives. That is our purpose, to love, pure and simple. As Jesus said, Jesus said, I did and said what you told me to do and say. When he died on the cross, did he die in submission, the servant of God the Father? Of course he did. But that desire to die on the cross, to save us from our past and to restore us for our future, was also his desire. It was also his desire. His hope and his dream to be fulfilled. In John 14:15, Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. And that is precisely what Jesus meant. Not if you love me, you'll do as you're told. But if you love me, my heart will be your heart. My desire will be your desire. My hope will be your hope. And you will obey my commandments because it's what you want. It is your heart's desire too. One heart, one hope, one desire, one dream. And the love he demonstrated was spirit. And it began with the original decision right at the beginning. So when his emotion and his body and his mind screamed, Father, if it's possible, take this cup from me. It was his spirit and his choice that cried, but not your will, Lord. No, wrong way around. I always say that wrong way around. Not my will, Lord, but yours be done. It is a picture of love. But it's not as simple as that. And everyone's thinking, that wasn't simple. Jesus told us to love our enemies. How can we have a love like that with people who seek to harm us? We're called to forgive them every time they harm us. What's that a recipe for? So what happens when one person chooses to love another, but the other, the object of their love, chooses to enter into a selfish love and chooses to take what they can and to use the other person for their own selfish desire? We all know situations like that. We all know relationships like that. And it's very easy to see who the slave is and who the master is. I'm going to take it one step further than that. I'm going to suggest that we have all been involved in relationships like that, on one side or the other. Why? Because the fallen man doesn't die so easily in us. The fallen man is always there, just underneath the surface. In fact, even the church is guilty of it. Even the church is guilty of making slaves of God's children for their own ends, for their own desires, for their own glory and fame. But Jesus told us to be wily as foxes when dealing with the world. So he told us to love, and he gave us an example of that love with his death on the cross. And he told us to be wily as foxes. How do those two things sit side by side? In these two statements, Jesus effectively separates our love for someone and our relationship with someone. We can love someone, but at the same time, protect ourselves from that person. Never forget that first and always it is Jesus we serve. No other, not even the church. Jesus did and said what his Father told him to do and say. Yet he served us in humility, even to the point of death on the cross. In Matthew 16, he said he would build his church, not you or any other slave to the church organization, but Jesus. In John chapter 5, Jesus did something that I have never seen or heard any other minister do. And I'm telling you this, and I'm telling you this in this way because I want to challenge your ideas of what ministry is about, what your role in this world is about. Jesus enters into an area full of sick people. The Bible says a multitude of people. The blind, the paralyzed, the lame, the sick. He walks into this area and he's confronted by all these people in need. All these people crying out for healing. So of course he does what we would all do. He went to every single person there and he prayed for them. No, he didn't. He stood and he looked at them, one to the other. And he finds one man. He goes to that one man. And he prays for them, for him. And that one man is healed. And Jesus then turns his back on all the others and walks away. Isn't that shocking? Isn't that surprising? Doesn't that fly in the face of who we understand Jesus is? Jesus said, I did what you told me to do. I said what you told me to say. He wasn't the servant of those sick people. He was a servant of God. And he healed the man that God revealed to him. Total obedience to his Father. Why didn't he heal all the others? I don't know. I'm not God. But it says clearly to us that we aren't the servant of everyone in need, but to the ones that God has sent us to. Matthew 6, verse 6, Jesus teaches his disciples not to throw their pearls before swine or give dogs what is holy. I've heard this spoken about virtually all my Christian life. The pearls are the word of God, and the swine, or anyone who doesn't want to listen. And the reason we don't throw our pearls before swine is because they may trample them underfoot and tear them to pieces. You're a child of God. You are filled with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. God dwells in you. Wherever you go, whatever you do, you take all of heaven with you in the person of the Holy Spirit. You take all of God with you in the person of the Holy Spirit. I want to make a suggestion to you. You are the pearl because of who dwells in you. Not because of who you are, not because of anything you've done, but because of who dwells in you. We all share in that pearl. The heart of flesh we all have in Jesus. If we choose to love another and they do not return or respect that love, what does Jesus tell us to do? He says, shake the dust off your sandals and walk away. We need to be careful and guard ourselves when we love the world. We need to be careful and guard ourselves when we love others. Too often I've seen people locked into abusive relationships because of their faith. Too often I've seen people's lives torn apart by selfish people that want and need and want and need and want and need. That's not what we're here for. We are here to work with Jesus, alongside Jesus, to build his kingdom. We serve him and him alone. Yet when we try to shake the dust off our feet and walk away, we feel guilty and condemned. And who do you think tries to trap us in these abusive relationships? He not only wins us, but he also prevents us from fulfilling the purpose that God gave us. Always remember you serve Jesus and Jesus alone is your Lord, your Father, your God. Make sure you serve him alone. Too often we think we love them. We think if we love them, we must throw caution to the wind and place ourselves at risk. If we find ourselves in an abusive relationship, we may still love the person, but it would be unwise to remain in a place where the abuse may continue. Keep your balance. You love Jesus first. You walk as he walks. You do as he did. And all the rest will be added to you. Matthew 7. Above all, pursue his kingdom and righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. Matthew 8, verse 21. Another of the disciples said to him, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. But Jesus said to him, follow me, and let the dead bury their own dead. Remember the love with which God loves you. Remember the love with which God loves you. Remember the value he places on you. Remember the love he has proved to you. Your desire, your love for the person alongside you is nothing compared to the love and the heart Jesus has for them. You can trust him with your loved ones. You can trust him with those who are alongside you. You know you can, because you've learnt that you can trust him, with your life. Let go and trust. Love God and serve his will and his world, his word, and all the rest will be added to you. That is the end of the next point. And I am 3 minutes over. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you created us to love. It is our purpose in this world to love. And yet, Lord, our understanding of love is so distorted. Distorted by the world, distorted by our emotions, distorted by our bodies, distorted by our minds. Yet, Lord, you give us that perfect example of what love should be. What real love is. Lord, help us to deal with and put behind us all those distortions that we've believed in, that we've tried to live. And Lord, teach us to love as you loved. Lord, that our love may be securely founded in spirit. Lord, that through our love, not just spirit, but power might flow, Lord Jesus. And not just into our lives, Lord, but through our lives, like a mighty river, into the world around us, into the lives of the people around us, Lord Jesus. Because, Lord, we want to see transformation. Transformation in individuals and transformation in this world, Lord Jesus. From glory to glory, from righteousness to righteousness, Lord Jesus. Lord, we want to see our communities transformed into communities that really need know how to love, to care, and to look after each other, Lord Jesus. Lord, I ask it in your holy name. Amen.